The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Along with the athletic director of your UAB Blazers, Mark Ingram, this is called the UAB Director's Chair Show. We do every single week right here on the TKR app. You can listen to the show numerous times. We play it throughout the day and throughout the week. And, of course, if you miss any of those shows live on the Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app, and thanks to the 100,000 folks who have downloaded that app, also the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. Search Tony Curry Radio Podcast, Curry with a K, and you can hear us. We're on every major indice, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. We're all over the place. Mark, how you been, brother? Everything good?
I'm great, Tony. How you doing, dude?
We're doing wonderful. Thoroughly enjoy our catch-ups every single week. And, you know, we do talk about UAB sports. I know when we record this show here on the 9th, you've got a women's basketball game coming up here in just a few minutes. So we'll just keep you for a few. And your men's basketball program, though, I was at the FAU game, a top 25 team. They had won, what, 21 in a row, was it? 20 or 21 in a row.
20,
the longest streak in college basketball this season. And the UAB Blazers get it. Just talk about what a huge win that was for the men's basketball team.
Well, our men's team is probably the most talented in the league. And, you know, anybody that's come to watch us would I think, agree that they haven't gotten close to their potential yet. They just don't gel, yep. You know. And sometimes they do. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But when they do now, they're awesome, and they did against Florida Atlantic, and so they did it at the right time. But you can kind of see it during the game. There will be moments where they look like they could beat the Lakers, mm-hmm. and then there's other moments where they couldn't, you know, struggle against the single A team in high school. I mean, it's just sort of a back and forth. But when they get it right, man, they're really, really good. And that was really good for not just for our fans and for the obvious you want to win, but for their confidence in knowing what they're capable of, I thought was really important.
Big ball game tonight against North Texas, a squad that just absolutely slowed the ball down to, you're wondering why North Texas only gives up 50 points a ball game. We saw that firsthand down at Bartow Arena. Then, of course, coming up on Saturday, Middle Tennessee, 3 o'clock tip. And did I hear right that Bartow Arena set a crowd record a couple games ago? Did I hear something like that? Or was it for the season for one game? I mean, the place
has been
rocking.
Season high. Yeah, it was our season high when we played Florida. We played Florida International, actually. We had our season high, more than 53, almost 5,400 fans at the game, which was great. And that's what we should have every game, and then pushing up towards, you know, 7,000. So that's the goal. And we've been chipping away at it coming out of COVID. And, you know, we hired Andy Kennedy during the pandemic, which it's like, hey, we're get excited and come see. Oh, wait, you can't come see because we're restricted capacity, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was a very lukewarm kind of room temperature introduction of a guy that I think under ordinary circumstances would have been a lot like Trent Dilfer, this huge burst of enthusiasm and excitement from our fan base. And listen, everybody was excited, but they couldn't express it, and they couldn't get together to celebrate it. And so just coming out of the pandemic, you know, I reminded our staff, it was this time a year ago, we were still supposed to wear masks indoors at UAB. And people forget that. And so we really are just this year, in my opinion, for the first time playing back to full normal, or what we all thought of before the pandemic as completely normal. And people are showing up. So it's a lot of fun to have a big crowd, and it makes a major, major difference.
Mark Ingram, the UAB athletic director. You can find him on Twitter at UAB_AD. He's kind enough to join us every single week here on TKR and Tony Curry Radio, and of course our podcast series. I want to ask you a question here in the UAB director's chair. I saw this story, and I know how excited you were to get Trent Dilfer in. I think it was the hire of the year in college football. Obviously, he's going nowhere at UAB. He's going to be there for a while, and we're super excited about that as a UAB fan. Lance Guidry, who did some remarkable things for the Marshall Thundering Herd this past year. Their defense was lights out, one of the best in the country. He takes the job as the head coach at Tulane, and then about 3 weeks later, quits and takes the DC job at Miami after Kevin Steele left to go take the Alabama job for the third time as DC. And all I could think about as a college football fan, how excited I get when you bring a new coach in, because it's not every year that happens. You get behind this guy, and then less than a month later, he splits to go not only take a job that's not really lateral because he's going from a head coach to a DC gig. Obviously, it's more money. But just as an athletic director, how would that jive with you?
Well, you don't like it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's an understatement, right? But, mm-hmm. These jobs are so highly volatile. They are high risk, high reward. The criticism level is incredibly intense around the coaches and, ADs and presidents about every little thing that isn't perfect and neatly tight, neatly wrapped in a bow all the time. And so, everybody's got to, in those moments of transition, they've got to look out for themselves. And, you certainly, like I said, you don't like it. I remember something similar happened at Temple with Manny Diaz. He was the DC at Miami, went to Temple to be their head coach, and went right back to Miami to be their head coach within a matter of days or something. I don't remember how long. And, it's going to leave a pretty awful taste in your mouth, whether you're a fan of Temple or the administrators of the AD at Temple. But on some level, you got to stop and say, hey, a person has to do what they think is best for them and wish them well and move forward, but I don't envy being in that position. And listen, the other thing is with your assistant coaches, these transitions are happening at different times at each school. So if we hire somebody here to be our, whatever position coach, we're ahead of other hires, which we were, another person at another school may say, oh, you're the linebacker coach at UAB. I'd make you the DC here at our school. And I could, I could pay you more. And they, in all reality, they've only been here with us, like you just said, a week or three, and they're up and gone. Well, that's really hard because it totally messes up the continuity that you thought you had in your building. But I don't think you can do anything to stop that. And but it's not fun.
I understand when home calls or when mama calls. And obviously, this Miami gig is a great gig. And if he does a good job there, that'll certainly catapult him into something that's probably more special than Tulane. And I've all been about, I'll analogize it with a woman. If I'm with a woman, she doesn't want to be with me and she wants to be with someone else, then I'm going to let her go. I mean, if you love something enough, you got to let it go, because I don't want someone to be with me if they don't want to be with me. Are those things that you talk about with coaches before they take jobs? Did Tulane know what they were getting with Lance Guidry and said, hey, listen, there's a situation. And we knew about the Miami DC gig opening up before he actually took that job at Tulane. And by the way, Tulane's owed $500,000 for that move. Is that something that you broach with potential coaches before you make hires?
Well, yeah, you talk about, your commitment to them, and they talk about their commitment to you, and you're honest with each other. And in our contracts, it's required that if they're going to interview somewhere else, they're required to tell us before they interview. It's a bit like recruiting players. You've got, I can talk to your coach at a time that I can't talk to you. And, when people say that, their players are getting poached, how does that happen? Well, they're reaching out to them through other ways. Other ways to get to that player. So it's the same thing with coaches. They're always recruiting another coach. They're always recruiting, trying to be better. And we have those conversations about, hey, look, I'm going to make this sort of financial commitment to you. Tell me about what is your commitment to us? And that's what we're talking about mainly is time. And Guidry, just to clarify, Tony, Guidry didn't take the head coaching job at Tulane.
My apologies.
Yeah, he took the defensive coordinator job at Tulane, and correct. then he took the DC job at Miami. So, Had he taken the head coaching job, that would have been catastrophic.
No, you're correct. You're absolutely correct there. And my apologies for getting that wrong, because I just thought it was really bizarre that you would take one job and then a month later be splitting to take another. But that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but look, we've had other schools try to come in and take our assistant coaches after right here this year.
Yeah.
At UAB, we've had, we hired them. They've started here, and 2 weeks later, some other place has said, "Hey, look, before you get your, too settled there, before you sign a lease at an apartment or before you buy a house, why don't you think about coming here instead? And we could pay you a little bit more and whatever." And we've been able to fend that off, but we're not immune to that either.
Yeah. He's Mark Ingram, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. Go to uabsports.com for all your ticket needs and any information going on in all the athletic departments there at UAB. And Mark, of course, appears here on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network, as well as TKR, and we do it every single week. It's one of our most listened to podcasts. I wanted to get into this, and we talked briefly just so people know before we actually do this show, because I don't want to be coming out of left field or anything. It's something that this is not my old man get off my lawn moment. I'm going to be coming up on 57 years of age, so I've kind of been around, and I've certainly dabbled in some gambling. I used to meet the guy behind the dumpster on Valley Avenue every Saturday morning. It's a little easier to do that now with the likes of FanDuel and DraftKings and everything else.
Right.
And it scares me, and I've had this conversation with my 18-year-old son, in that most young people do fantasy drafts and fantasy leagues. You don't see guys in their 50s in fantasy leagues. You just see some, but it's primarily a younger sport, if you will. And now all of a sudden you can gamble on anything because it's wide open. Not here in the state of Alabama, but I'm sure one day it will be. I brought this up because I went to ESPN.com this morning, and one of their swimming lanes is sports betting. They now have a sports betting page just dedicated to that. Hell, I remember coming to this town, they didn't have the lines inside the Birmingham Post-Herald because it was considered immoralistic. It was something we couldn't put sports lines in there because that's gambling. We won't do that. Now it's available anywhere and everywhere. Do you talk to your student athletes? I know there are rules that you can't gamble on games, and I understand that, but do you talk to your youngsters about what's it mean to be part of, hey, we got March Madness coming up, man. Everyone's part of that. 1 in 5 adults in the United States will bet on the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday to a tune of about $20 million, which is twice what it was last year. Do you talk to your student athletes about that?
Yes, and our staff. And, no matter what state you live in, it may be permissible in your state. It's not permissible by the NCAA. And we just had an all-staff meeting yesterday, which was everybody in the athletic department, which we do once a month. And our compliance person, Elizabeth Molin, she just started with us. She reminded everybody, hey, the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. Even betting your friend or your neighbor, lunch on who's going to win the game is not permissible. And if a person wants to say, I think that's ridiculous. Well, there may be a lot of things in the world that are ridiculous, but that's what the rule is, and you can't do it. And we do that all the time. We're telling our student athletes and our coaches and our staff about the rules in general. And then at times, like you mentioned, March Madness, as that gets closer, we will send out reminders through text or an email. Hey, as a reminder, this is coming up. Don't find yourself in an office pool, even filling out a bracket, and somebody say that you suggest that you were gambling on the tournament, because it's not permissible, and it's one of the things that the NCAA does not take lightly.
Something that's been showing up at a lot of NFL stadiums, and I have not seen it at a college stadium. And you can clarify this: the 50-50 raffles. If you've never been a part of one, you buy a raffle ticket. Half the money goes to a charity. Whoever gets the winning ticket gets the other half. Is that something permissible in college sports or no?
Well, it is, because it has nothing to do with the contest. So it's not an NCAA issue. You can buy a raffle ticket. It's funny, when I was at Temple University prior to here, we did a 50-50 raffle at all of our games. And half the money went to the athletic department. It's version of what we call Blazer Boosters, our annual fund. The money went to our annual fund, and the other half went to the winner. And it's an incredibly dangerous thing. I hated it. It was something that we inherited. when I got there, I inherited that. And
why do you say it was dangerous?
We stopped. Well, how are you collecting the money?
Yeah.
you know, one, and how are you promoting it? There are ways to do it electronically through apps and QR codes and that, and the professional sports teams that do it, it's very popular in professional sports. They're doing it all electronically. We were still doing it with cash. And so what they were doing at the time was the student athletes were wandering around the, you know, they'd pick a sport and they'd say, you know, the rowing team would wander around the parking lot during a football game and ask fans to buy a 50-50 raffle. And then they're, you know, they're paying $20 or whatever into the 50-50 raffle. And then so half the money would go to their sport directly. But now you got these student athletes handling all this cash.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an accounting problem here. You know, there's just all sorts of things that can go wrong with that. And so, and just keeping up with it. Okay, Tony, Mr. Student Athlete Tony, we gave you 10 tickets to sell. You got to turn in the five tickets you didn't sell and the five stubs and the $100 because that's $20 a ticket. Like, what if you lost $20? Now you're on the hook for the $20.
Yeah.
There's just, I don't know. And I think it's embarrassing, frankly, to have your student athletes wandering around kind of peddling like that. It was just a bad look from my view. I didn't like it. And anyway, we were able to kind of move away from that. It didn't make us that much money and wasn't worth the general embarrassment, really.
An interesting caveat to that story, Rod Carew, of course, the Hall of Famer up in Cooperstown, recently came out and said it's time to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame because you can go to Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati and bet on the Reds inside the stadium during the game. He said, if you can bet. And, of course, someone came out and said, well, great, so what about steroids? We're supposed to let those people in. He said, when they start selling steroid shots in Concourse C, yeah, it's time to let him in. So that's interesting. Mark Ingram, UAB athletic director. You can find him on Twitter at UAB_AD. And he's been kind enough to join us every single week here on Tony Curry Radio and wherever you get your podcasts, we're available everywhere. All right. There are two guys who have just announced they're going on tour for the last time. One's coming to town here on Father's Day. That's James Taylor. The other is the This Is It final tour for Kenny Loggins. If you could have a front row seats to either one of those shows, Kenny Loggins or James Taylor, one or the other, which one would it be? Why?
James Taylor, no doubt.
Really?
James Taylor is going to walk out on that stage. He's going to sit on a bar stool, and he's going to go straight at you for 2 hours, and it's going to be terrific. I've never seen Kenny Loggins, but James Taylor is the real deal, man. There's no synthesizer there. He's going to walk out and give you 100% and then he's just going to get up and walk off, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller and a great songwriter and a beautiful guitar player. And that'll be a terrific show.
No doubt. And I kind of wish it wasn't on Father's Day because I want to be with my kids, but I may have to
take your kids with you.
Yeah. You know
what a great gift for them to give you.
It would be, but I just don't. I know my three kids would not be. Maybe my 15-year-old would be into it a little bit. My 10 and my 18-year-old, I'm not so sure. I'll tell you a quick story. I was working a bar at the Sheraton downtown near the Legacy Arena. And I had heard that Kenny Loggins was staying in that hotel the night I was down there. And I actually saw him in the veranda area where he walked in the front door. And there was a rumor going around that he was going to shoot his new video from the rooftop of the Sheraton Hotel. This is 1990, 1991, something like that. The Convictions of the Heart was his album at the time. And so they were like, do you want to go up there for the video? And I said, well, absolutely. And so I'm trying to lay lines out, talk to friends, this, that, and the other. And we make it to the roof. And, of course, there was no video being shot. And I got locked up on the roof of the Sheraton Hotel until the next morning. So there you have it.
That's like the movie The Hangover. You got locked up on the roof.
And there was no bed. There was no mattress up there, too. So, hey, Mark, great stuff, man. Best of luck with the UAB basketball program. I know we're getting down to Selection Sunday coming up soon. And it looks like UAB is going to have to run the table and get after it in Conference USA. They certainly have the manpower to get that done.
You can do it.
So happy that Jelly's back in the lineup and playing like he is. He just adds a different dimension to that basketball team. But I appreciate you, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, pal. Thanks so much, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.